Hello and welcome to Travels Through a Kingdom. It's Kaya with you until 7 tonight and I do hope I find you well. I take it a few of you are out tonight celebrating Mother's Day and rightly so. I hope you all had a lovely day and you got absolutely spoilt as you deserve. And a few of you must have enjoyed the parades on Friday. Last year I went all around the county between Kilgarvan, Dingle, Killarney, Tralee even to see the parades, and I had met such wonderful people and they all joined me here on Travels Through a Kingdom, which is probably available on our podcast section as well if you'd like to listen back to that, but no doubt they enjoyed it all over again. We have a lovely show on the way for you tonight, but before we get started I just want to read a few comments that I got for last weekend's show. I had both John Kinsella from Listowel, originally from Wexford, and I had John Bosco McMahon on the programme. And a few comments that came in, one from Christine Sheehy on our Facebook page. Bosco, a superhero, some knowledge of ponies, horses and ponies, such a talented person in every way and very helpful, which means a lot when you are new to this horsey game. Thanks for all your help and advice. As always, that was from Christine. Kathleen and Tom Hurley got in touch to say a great programme, Kaya, with John Kinsella, who is a wonderful songwriter and entertainer. Also, that mighty character, John Bosco McMahon, a man who has an amazing memory and great company. Best wishes. We got a comment from Eileen in Beaufort saying, great programme. She loved John's songs. Another one asked, where could you get John's CD? Now, it's available in the Listowel Shenachie Centre. John's CDs are available to buy there if you're interested in buying one of those. But we had a few comments about that. Where could you purchase his CDs? So again, the Shenachie Centre in the Listowel. And another email I got in, I think it was close to Saturday night last, and it was in regards to my interview with Mike Egan. Jared got in touch because he listened back to the podcast with Mike Egan and it brought back some memories. So I'll just read this out to you. We lived in Railway Terrace from 1960. My sister still lives there, and this is the smaller of the two railway terraces opposite the Stinglebox behind Stoker's Lodge. Every morning there was a train service to Limerick at 8:20. As kids, we were usually eating our porridge at that time before heading off to school, so that was embedded into our brains. It wasn't a normal train pulled by an engine, but a rail car with a very small cab for the driver. There were no individual carriages, and passengers could walk through the train up to the driver. I was 10 or 11 then, but I do remember that one of the drivers could play the banjo and used to bring it with him to work. The passenger service ceased in or around the mid-60s, with the goods remaining until 1978. All of our fathers were employed by CIE. My father was a sheeting checker in the goods store and he was responsible for sending goods to South Kerry, which of course went by road back then. His daily routine would start fairly early and he worked 6 hours, 40 minutes a day for 6 days a week. Sunday's store was closed. As a youngster, I worked on the trains in the dining cars and often left Tralee in the middle of the night, travelling the North Kerry line wherever there was a pilgrimage to Knock Shrine. We would start in the stall picking up the pilgrims as we went along, and these trains were packed and the dining cars were kept very busy selling soft drinks, sandwiches and teas. Booze was not allowed. The trip took forever as the permanent way was badly maintained. The train fairly crawled along. We had a radio carriage on board and whenever we needed a break in service, we would get someone to say the rosary and the dining car closed for its duration. On arrival into Claremorris, the pilgrims were bussed to Knock Shrine, and it was a very long, outrageous day for us as young lads. It could be 3 a.m. before we saw bed and had to be on duty 4 hours later for the morning train to Dublin. Hard looking back, but that was the way it was. I remember Mike Egan. Give him my regards if you have his details. And that was Gerald Greensmith in Westport, County Mayo, listening to our programme. Gerald, thank you so much for getting in touch with your lovely email as well. It really means a lot. And I'm sure Mike would absolutely love that too. And it's amazing. Anytime I've done a programme about trains or anything like that, a lot of you get in touch in your droves about your memories from times like that. So if you have any again tonight, do get in touch. You can text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300, or you can email myself kflynn@radiokerry.ie. I would only love to hear from you tonight. Now, on with tonight's show. We are off to Ballybunion again. I got in touch with Robert and Deirdre Stack and we had a lovely cup of tea and biscuits and sat down and had a chat about Robert and Deirdre's life and where Kyoltis has taken them over the years. So let's join Robert and Deirdre.
Kaya, you're welcome to our home here in Doon, Ballybunion, where I was born and reared, and lived here for the last 83 years.
Wow. You said you were born just across the road?
Yeah, that was the old home across the road, and my son lives across there, and his family.
Wow.
And I moved, when we got married, then I moved across here.
So you didn't move to Fareway, but look at the beautiful views you have.
Oh, sure, it is lovely and a fine day, but when the storm hits here, mm-hmm. and you could write your name in the window there with salt after a storm. And it wouldn't be a big storm now. Mm-hmm.
Would you have to prepare yourself if there was bad weather coming?
He's not the best at doing that now, my job. He would do a little bit.
Well, a lot of the sheds were old and that, and the storm took a lot of them mm-hmm. from time, different periods. But when we got our feet in the ground and we got to get the sheds redone, and they're safe now anyway. But we wouldn't get in storm insurance, we wouldn't get it here.
Deirdre, I might come over to yourself here. You were originally from Lixna.
I'm from Ballintlaher, Lixna.
Okay, what was life like there?
We had a very, very happy childhood. My mother and my father were both from Lisbol. My mother was from Lisbol and my father was from Eglish, and he was a teacher and he got the post in Ballintlaher School, so they moved there, and there were seven of us in the family, mm-hmm. six girls and one boy again. And
who was the pet?
Oh, we should, there was nobody pets that. Well, maybe Geordie, because she was the youngest of the family. She was definitely the pet, I suppose, in the household. You know, we all did. We have two nurses, two teachers. I worked in the bank. My brother was a creamery manager. And my eldest sister went to America, Annette, but she's back home now again.
And how long was she gone for?
She was in America 20-odd years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And when did she come back?
She came back in 1970.
Did she find a big difference?
Actually, yeah, she didn't really like they married in America. And she came home and she's living in Abidorny. And then she inherited the post office and my mother's home place in Lisbol.
Oh.
And she was back and over there running the post office for a good lot of years until she retired.
Oh, so it was a very happy ending.
So it was a very happy ending.
Mm-hmm. Now, Robert was telling me how ye met.
We'll be married 54 years this year.
Wow. And yesterday, the 1st of March, was your engagement anniversary.
Yeah, it was. He doesn't ever remember that. I have to prompt him. It was my sister, actually, that he introduced us. She's living in Kilkenny. And so she introduced us. And
mm-hmm. How did that go?
We both loved singing and we both loved dancing and we did a fair share of it.
Oh, lovely.
We were involved in Coltis then, and we toured England and America with the Coltis tour group in 1978.
Wow, what was that like?
A fantastic experience. Mm-hmm. It really was. England was nearly nicer than America because it wasn't as vast. We had internal flights and everything in America and the distances, but like England was, we enjoyed that more than America.
And how long were you gone for?
We were in England for 2 weeks in February, mm-hmm. and then in October we were in America for 3 weeks.
Wow.
Believe it or not.
And whereabouts in America did you go?
Oh, we did 18 cities in 19 days.
Oh, you must have been wrecked.
We were wrecked. We really were wrecked. A friend of ours now, Martha Buckley, who was with us, she actually slept standing up in Chicago Airport.
Oh my goodness.
It was a lot of travelling. We stayed with host families. And then we were up in Canada then, and we stayed in hotels there because you didn't have as many host families.
Oh,
but like, it was some experience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Robert, what was it like for you?
It was great. Mm-hmm. But we had, I suppose, when we left Shannon, there was nearly a half ton of luggage,
mm-hmm.
Stuff for Coltis. That was distributed all over America.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the girls then, she was a harpist, and I used to hold a harp. And load and unload, that all had to be loaded and unloaded in the different venues then, and mm-hmm. stuff would be salted in, and some of the venues, the load would be getting a bit lighter as we went along.
Would you ever be afraid that it even went missing?
I didn't have to worry. sometimes you'd be glad to jump the whole lot because it was. Mm-hmm. But that time they had a Ballybunion promotion brochure advertising Ballybunion, and I took that with me. And I left.
He wasn't supposed to do it, but he did it.
But I left a brochure, our brochures in every venue that we were at.
Okay, and did you get any response?
I presume I did, because Ballybunion became a huge mecca for golf then, down the years.
It was just advertising. And we'll say it was a cheap way of advertising when Robert took all the brochures with him, and people, you see, the shop was laid out in the foyer of wherever we'd be performing. Mm-hmm. And the brochures were part and parcel of the shop. Yeah. When they were buying something, then they'd pick up a brochure and, you know.
Tell me, when you were performing, how long were you performing for in each venue?
Well, you had a full concert. Mm-hmm. There was 20 artists. We were part of the Ballybunion half set. Mm-hmm. That was what we were doing. And you had musicians and singers, and you had an MC, and you had a tour manager. So that, I suppose, there was. Well, we made some very, very good friends now in it. Mm-hmm. Like that we stayed friends with all down along. Chris Droney from Clare, now he concertina player. Like we have, he only died 2 years ago, but like we had a great rapport with him, and you know, we, as I said, we kept up the friendship.
Mm-hmm. When you went over, and let's say you finished your performances and everything, both in England and America, what was the audience reaction like?
Well, fantastic reaction, really it was. Now in England, people came, and but in America the audiences were different. If it went on too long, like, they would get up and walk out because they were going to work early the following morning. Mm-hmm. So that, like, you'd have to start the program when you were bang on time in America. And then in like after all the shows, then there was a kind of a
you would prefer on the show again, because every place, every host, there was a bar and there'd be a concert.
But that's what I was just coming to.
Sorry,
you know, like
sorry,
after,
no, for interrupting.
After the show, that like in the host houses you'd be staying in, like everybody would be performing there again, an impromptu thing, you know?
Yeah. And were you treated well?
We were treated exceptionally well. Oh, we were. Okay. We really were now. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have any complaints. Like, we got beautiful food, lovely accommodation, everything.
Oh, lovely.
You know.
And then over the years with your own children, did you get them heavily involved in Kyotas?
We should tell you the truth. No, they weren't that interested. Our eldest, John R., we have two boys and a girl. John R. is here, no, I'll make a mistake. He was born in 1970. And Fergus was born in 72, and Granny was born in 81. But like any of the, Granny did music all right, and she has a beautiful singing voice. And our son Fergus lives across the road in the old home. And like, they didn't take to Kyotas like we did.
Yeah.
You know, they were more into football and whatever.
And what made you so involved in Kyotas that you loved it so much?
Liam Buckley, I suppose, was the, from Ballybunion, came up one day and spoke to us, and we joined in 1970, and we were involved in it after
never
that.
Back.
No, never looked back. Like, we had, at that time, you had fantastic socials in the Manhattan, but like, we knew everybody around, and it was a form of, that was our entertainment, and that was what we loved.
Mm-hmm. And Robert, what did you love most about it? There's a big smile on your face, so I know something good's coming.
Everything about it was great, really, because when I started dancing could be at a run dance.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where we didn't have real sets and hornpipes. And then our local hall then in the winter time would be Ashti.
Mm-hmm.
And there'd be two reels played there every night, reel sets and hornpipes, and two sieges of Innes.
Mm-hmm.
That was the programme for the, plus everything else after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew about
polkis.
We never had the word polkis.
Okay.
It was always reel sets and hornpipes, that was it. But coulters didn't. It was polka sets, that's what was
amazing.
Termed as. And the reel was forgotten about then.
Okay,
it was all sets, polkas and hornpipes.
Mm-hmm. And when you got your season ticket for the dances below, what kind of dances were you doing then?
What was ballroom dancing.
Okay.
Ballroom dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Thing.
Yeah.
And there was a time then when you couldn't have you would be supposed to have a ceilidh for a fundraiser for the GAA.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't have anything else, but when it would be a ceilidh in all time, so you covered it then. And when the reel it'd be called here in the Ballerine in Ballymunnan, that was the smaller hall.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the ladies would disappear. They wouldn't. It wasn't fashionable
to be
dancing that kind of music and that.
Really?
And they'd run to the ladies.
Oh my God.
And then the years after, when their kids were coming up, they were paying to have them, you know, when set dancing.
Yeah.
Because that time the branch was, we had Liam Buckley was a fantastic organiser, like, and he was passionate about it. And we had four different age groups of set dancers, like.
Mm-hmm.
And the mothers that were running to the tile at that time were paying to have their kids.
Oh my God. They could have been showing.
Yeah. But that was a fact, like, that's what happened.
That's amazing.
At that era. And it was only in the latter years then that set dancing became popular, and now sure they're travelling all over and they're happy with their local set at all. They have to have 10, 20 different sets.
And we'll return to Robert and Deirdre in just a moment, but if you want to get in touch, you can text 083 300 3300, or you can email kflynn@radiokerry.ie. We'll be back just after this ad break. And you're very welcome back to tonight's Travels Through a Kingdom with myself, Kaya Flynn. You can get in touch tonight by texting or WhatsApping 083 300 3300, or emailing kflynn@radiokerry.ie. Now we are returning to our chat with Deirdre and Robert Stack.
And tell me this, on the day of your wedding, what was the dancey dance to?
You see, there was no, at that time you didn't pick the number, like the band went up and they played. Like,
really?
It was, yeah, there was no such thing as...
No formality.
Not really, no, like we got married at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
That time, that was the time, like there was no such thing as, and like the reception was over, everything was over by 6 o'clock in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
The height of the rose tree.
Yeah, that's true. In the Brendan, we had the reception, and the Rose of Tralee was on at that particular 30th of August.
Oh, lovely.
Was when we got married.
Lovely. Jesus, that sounds really nice. So, you know, a lot of, I think the Brendan was a very popular place one time.
It was. Mm-hmm. But like as I said, there was no number that you would pick out like they do today. Like there's a big, and you see, they have to learn to dance now. So that we were able to dance, and it didn't matter. Everybody got up and
that was it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now there's a here in Ballybunion in the next couple of months. There's a new flag coming. Are you excited for it, Robert?
There's a lot of work to do, and it's only beginning now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but all the venues are sorted out.
But it'll be an exciting time. You have obviously all your venues and everything like that, and there'll be people from all around the county around.
Yeah, that's the idea. Like, but we have a lot to do yet on advertising around outside mm-hmm. the county bounds, like mm-hmm. for people coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But we did it before. We had 8x4s and smaller, like, advertising, and we had them up all around,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the entrance to the county.
Yeah.
And all I know, since the last meeting now, when we look for them, they were down in Milltown.
So you have the secondary school, and you have the national school, and you have the Tin Town Theatre, and they're all within walking mm-hmm. distance.
Yeah,
do you know, because some venues you'd have to be driving and running for the different yeah. competitions.
And trying to make times and
yeah.
everything. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that, like, all the venues are within walking distance.
Mm-hmm. And Deirdre, I noticed while I was sitting here at the table, and just I look over my eye, I see a couple of Tin Whistles. Who are they all belong to?
Our, would you believe it now, our Tunisian grandchildren.
Oh, wow.
They're learning the Tin Whistle.
But how are they finding it?
They're actually, no, it is coming along very well, but just trying to get them to practice. But, like, they're good. They go down every Friday evening, and we'll say the coldest thing had lapsed here a small bit for a while, but then Betty Joyce came from Scarthy Glen, and herself and a few of the local girls, they started, Betty plays music, like, she's a Trojan worker, really and truly, like, and she got it going again in the music classes. And John Fennell from Kilrush is coming over and teaching dancing every Saturday.
Okay.
Since last September.
Brilliant. And is he getting a good outcome?
He is, yeah. Good, he good. Is, like, he has, we'll say, the beginners, and then you have, they go up, age groups up along, and then he has the adults when all the children are finished.
Aww,
so he said he'd see how it went up to Christmas, but he's still coming and it is going well. Mm-hmm. So, as I say, our grandchildren are gone down too.
Mm-hmm. You must be very happy to see that.
I am really and truly. Like, the little girl, she has a gorgeous voice. The boys wouldn't have as good a voice, but she has a lovely voice. So we're
oh,
hoping for good things from her.
Yeah. Well, again, as you said, with yourselves, even with Kjoltis can take you all around the world.
Oh, all around
which is
the
amazing.
World. And, like, we had, we'll say, various different, Clare now was a big, we went to the Flannu in Ennis a lot of years, and, like, took the, we'll say, the under 14 set, 14 to 18, and the seniors, and it was all part of the concerts in at the Flannu, so.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to, Michael Howard and his wife had a farm, and they had a big bed and breakfast house, and we used to take over the whole house for the weekend of the Flannu, the whole lot of the Ballybunion crowd, and we had a lot of fun times there.
Yeah. And again, a lovely way to make friends. I suppose, Robert, as well, you made friends for life.
Oh, God, yeah. Mm-hmm. I suppose the fact that they have set in as a result of winning the All-Ireland in Innes. We had 2 or 3 television performances.
Oh, wow. What years?
Oh.
One was in 70... The first one, actually, was in 1973.
Mm-hmm. What was that like?
1974. It was in 1974. It was black and white, like, it was Bring Down the Lamp, was it? No, that wasn't.
Before the All-Ireland, wasn't it?
I know, but that was later.
Yeah.
That was later. But, like, the first one was, we'll say, 1974.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had maybe 4 or 5 different appearances then.
Wow, that must have been amazing.
So, it was all... an experience.
Mm-hmm. What did people say to you when they saw you?
You know, should you tell you the truth, I don't think there was that much fuss about it at that time.
Oh, it's a big, big deal though, isn't it?
Well, there was one part of the set that was unusual to the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them If you I won't mention, better not mention them because they're still alive. And we gone down on our knees to see what we were doing. And they couldn't do it. But I remember being beyond there one day anyway, and a fella stopped outside in the road. He probably recognised me, he couldn't tell you. But I had to demonstrate outside in the yard for him there what we were doing.
Oh my God, you could have been given him glasses, so.
It was so simple, like.
Well, they did the television programme then a number of years ago for the various different sets, the Roscommon set, the Ballyvourna set, and all that. They did the programme mm-hmm. of the full thing. Iarla O'Leonard was the host, I suppose, of it at that time. And all the different sets were done, and we have the video of that.
Wow.
And it was like William and Martha Buckley now, Noreen and Patricia Barrett, Mickey and Kennelly, Anthony Barrett, and Robert and myself. And like it was a whole day above in Dublin, but it was.
When you watch that back, what does it feel like?
I couldn't do today what I did then. Just the legs wouldn't be as good, like we were fit that time now,
mm-hmm.
very fit. Like when you'd go to the different socials, like you'd dance three or four sets in the night, and like you wouldn't even stop to think about it. But now, to give one round of the floor might be.
We didn't have this room at that time, like, there was no big coach out there, and. That's where a lot of the practicing was done.
Right here in the sitting room?
Yeah, the different age groups like would be here rehearsing for the different things, yeah.
Oh, amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Jeez, it's incredible the way it can bring you around the world and you can meet so many people and to this day even mm-hmm. bring it on with family throughout. Yeah. It's amazing, isn't mm-hmm. it? mm-hmm. Would you recommend it to anyone to start learning no matter what age?
Well, you see, they're doing it. I don't have to recommend it because they're all doing it now. At that time, there weren't that many of us, you know, we'll say apart from the group of us that used to be here. But like now, they're all going to the classes and they're doing it.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people see the importance of it now and it's our culture at the end of the day.
Oh, it is our culture, definitely it is. Mm-hmm. And like it keeps you very fit.
Mm-hmm. And where did you say your grandchildren were from?
Tunisia.
Yeah, and they're seeing this culture as well, and that culture, it must be lovely.
Yeah, you see, they're not old enough to... The three of them were born in France.
Wow.
But then they moved to Tunisia, but mm-hmm. that's a long story.
Very good. A story for another day.
Well,
I'll leave it at that, but it was lovely to hear about it, Deirdre and Robert, so thank you so much.
Pleasure was all ours, having you.
And that was Robert and Deirdre Stack joining us here on Travels Through a Kingdom. And a huge thank you to their warm and positive company. I'm sure anyone who knows them would say the exact same thing. They were lovely, lovely people. And it was just, sometimes I forget how lucky I am with Travels Through a Kingdom because I meet such wonderful people with lovely stories like the likes of Robert and Deirdre and every person that I've met here. You're all such wonderful people. And thank you so much for coming on the programme. If you have any thoughts or if you want to get in touch, text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300 or email kflynn@radiokerry.ie. We'll be back with more in just a moment. And you're very welcome back to tonight's Travels Through a Kingdom. Now it's time to revisit the archive of Sean Hurley's Kerrywide.
James Gould is with us and he's the chairperson of the residence here. How are you, James?
I am good, Sean.
Your association with here, talk to me for a little while about that.
We have good staff and we have good nurses. We have good doctors to call to see us. We're very happy here. Poor Johnny Murphy, that's from Knockinure, he died. And he was a great friend of mine. Morris Stack, he was the singer. He has passed away. I have a photo of Manuel with the Kerry Cup.
Which is good.
Is good to have. But I'll tell you now, I worked in farms long ago when I was young. And I loved the cows and the cattle. I worked in Lyra Compound Bag with myself and my brothers.
Yes.
Myself
and what was it like working in Lyra Compound Bog around about the years that you worked in it?
It was kind of hard work.
Yeah. Was that with the Shillon?
No. The turf would be cut for the machine and we'll get a half floor of turf every day. It's turning. And you go back then the following day and you'd have to box foot it. And it was hard work, like you got turf cut the hands off you.
Yes.
And then I was in the army for a while in Limerick.
When you say you're with the army, was that the army reserve or the regular army?
I joined the real army.
Well, the regular army.
Yeah, I was there for a while, but I had to come back home because my father and mother was broken-hearted. So I came back home again.
Did you miss the army?
I did. I missed it all right, because I was doing great there. Then I was enjoying coming here to Listowel Races, because the trains were running that time from Limerick.
The thing about Listowel Races, they go way back to about 1854, don't they?
They do, yeah. But I was come to Listowel Races, myself and my sister and brothers. And we used to enjoy Listowel Races, but they all have passed away since. My sister died last November in England. Well, I had another sister. She died and she had a child as well. And my four brothers has passed away. So I'm the only one in the family left. And I used to enjoy going to Knackinole Sports. And we used to be doing the bag race.
We'll come back to that in a second, James. Let's talk about the Listowel Races again. Because, as I say, back in 1854, the track opened down here.
That's right.
But before that, can you remember where it was?
It was always down there, in that course. It was always, tis there with years and years.
Oh, it is there since 1854.
Tis there with a long time.
But before that, there was another race course in this store before that one opened in 1854.
Oh, it was probably up the Ballybone and Rosenfire.
Yes, up around there, yeah.
Yeah, but they got this place down here then at the river. Yeah.
Of course, Listowel is very famous for racing.
Listowel is very famous for racing, that's right.
Now, I wouldn't know much about racing myself, but tell me this, the jockeys, any jockeys come out of Listowel that's well known?
There was a Garen by here. He had a horse. I can't think of the name of the horse now.
The Garen by, anyway, he was the jockey.
No, he wasn't.
Was he not?
No, he was a supermarket man. He had a big supermarket, but the new supermarket is now. They were joined in a group to see it, but this horse.
Oh, yes.
And he was supposed to be a great horse. But we don't hear him no more now.
He was a partner, so with a group in the horse syndicate, the sort of thing. Yeah. Let's get away from the store races, and we were talking about Knackinure there for a minute.
In the world sports.
The sports, yeah.
Yeah.
Talk to me about those. What was the day of the sports like?
Oh, it was very, very good. And we used to enjoy it. And especially when we were doing the bag race and to see which one would win is, you know. I'd be often gone away before the rest would be halfway.
Yeah.
It was a big feel, like.
Yeah.
It was a big feel running up and down. We used to get nothing for it, like. We used to get no prize or nothing. Yeah.
You were the champion bag racer, were
I
you?
I was. I does art as well here.
Do you?
I do.
And what type of art do you like?
Oh, I done the Ballybun and Strand, and I done the Listowel Bridge. There was a girl from Ballybunnan, and she was coming here. She's a famous art, and with the two of us, she would be doing it together.
Yes.
I done Easter cards.
Oh, isn't that lovely? Now, James, have you a bit of poetry or anything for us?
No, I'll tell you now. There was an old woman here. She was gone 101, and she died there a couple of weeks ago. And we used to love her. And she would be always singing a song for us. If she was here today, she would sing and tell her life story. She would sing, "You Are My Sunshine."
Oh, yes.
I'll sing that, and I'll sing, "My Bunny Lies Over the Ocean."
Right.
That was her two songs.
Yes.
My bunny lies over the ocean. My bunny lies over the sea.
And that was James Gould there. Sorry we couldn't fit in his song because there was an accordion player there in the background and just throwing him off a little bit in the key.
And that was Sean Hardy's archive here on Travels Through a Kingdom. Now, we're almost done for tonight, but we have some music before we go. But before we do the music as well, I want to say a huge thank you to Robert and Deirdre Stack for joining us on the programme and sharing their story. If you'd like to come on Travels with me, simply just drop me an email or send us a letter to Radio Kerry, Main Street 3D, or email kflynn@radiokerry.ie. I'd love to get to know you and go down memory lane as well. Everyone has a story to share. Elaine is on the way with 7 days, and then Sean Riley is on from 8 until late. But if you want to listen back to any of our programmes, you can listen back on our podcast section on radiokerry.ie or on Spotify or Apple iTunes. You can just have a search there. So until next Sunday, I'll talk to you then. Enjoy the rest of your Mother's Day. I'll see you next Sunday. Take care.